This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
The smooth sounds of big band jazz in the background. Yes, the orchestra is in the house this fine Sunday afternoon. Well, you've tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, and Chris Switzer on clavinet. How are you, Chris?
Oh, just appreciating the smooth sounds here at your jazz show, Motormouth Radio, playing the hooky-dooky sounds, having a good time right here.
Yes.
It's cool. It's so cool. Hey, 20 years have mellowed us here. You know, some automotive talk shows don't last this long.
No.
And neither does this one.
No. So swing it will while we...
Hey, we're swinging!
Yes, while we swill some will, I guess. We'll do that.
Yes!
And exactly. You know, last time we did that, Will got really pissed, so we may have to take it easy next time. But I tell you what...
Yes!
This is our last show of the season. Mm-hmm. Of course, another year winds down, and we just keep on plowing forward like a bread truck through a parkway pudding.
Yes, exactly. Just moving like a herd of turtles right here. Motormouth Radio.
And a turd of hurdles. And so, again, you know, we had another adventurous year for this show, and we'll... continue to do more, but we do end on a high note, of course. We always try to do that. So
yes,
both of us have gotten pretty high, and we're just on that eggnog I think you had over there. But we do have a guest today. You know,
I'm very excited about this guest, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Marty Shure. People know him from Cars Magazine and Motion Performance, Car Guy Chronicles. Down in Sarasota. He's a good friend of the show, and he will be on today to talk about something very special. And we may have another guest on with us. We'll see if he chooses to come in. And then if not, we'll just wing it. So you can call and talk to these guests today if you want to be involved at 516-572-7440. And, of course, follow us on social media, Motormouth Radio, on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And it's real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram. And we have posts up there today. You can see, you'll get a teaser about what we're going to be talking about today with Marty. So
I'm going to go there right now, actually.
Yeah. How do you do it with those bunny pajamas? Don't they get in your way, those arms?
But the ears, I just use the ears as they're my wireless. So it's good. I pick up a good signal with these. Definitely.
And what I wanted to say is when we have the guests on, people can call. You can call the studio line, and if you want to ask these gentlemen a question and be a part of it that way, you can do that. So, again, 516-572-7440. And,
So how was your Christmas? How did it go? Did you get a gleaming tool for Christmas, Ray? We all want to know.
Guts. We were eating into it, like dinner was served at 10 p.m.
So, oh, it was served at 10 a.m. and went continuously until 10 p.m.
Cinnamon rolls at 10 a.m. And we don't have little kids anymore, but you know, we do stretch it out for the day, which is nice. It is a nice tradition. And, you know, people come over and, like I said, we had the big seafood, the giant seafood platter from a place that I highly recommend here in
the island. You do the seven fishes? You're one of those, crazy Gonzalones that do the seven fishes. Ah,
I don't think we had seven. We had maybe five. But, yeah, it's not. But then, you know, my wife, of course, who has to overdo it with food all the time, you know, the Italian that she is. And we laugh because she's the non-Italian family. But no, then of course.
But there are Italians and there are those that strive for it. And sometimes those that strive for it are better.
She does better than some of the real ones, I'll tell you this. And,
yeah, exactly.
And
I'm
we
sure
catered from one of our favorite restaurants and got a tray of chicken parm. I mean, you cut this with a fork like butter. This chicken was like delicious. Oh, my God. It was fantastic. And some ziti. And, you know, that came out at, like, by the time we were ready for it, it was like at 10 p.m. I'm like, geez, I'm ready to go to sleep. I'm like, we're sitting there eating food. Like, but it's okay. That's 'tis the season.
Good.
No, so we enjoyed it. How about you? How was the
I'm wearing my bunny pajamas now.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, you know. Hey, keeping me warm and toasty. Got a little flap in the back and everything.
You
it's
need
really
that.
Cool.
Yeah. Excellent.
No, it was good. It was quiet, you know, nice. We spent it with a little bit of the family up the road, so it was cool. We didn't travel too much. And we're going to be spending our traveling hopefully during this week. So when everyone else hopefully is just breaking out of their food coma, basically. So
right.
It's going to be nice. We're saving our action for the week. But over this past weekend, it was nice. We were close.
Yeah,
and,
good.
A lot of follow-ups. We actually had snow. We had snow up here in the Great Nutmeg State.
We had the day before.
Right. You had snow downstate, huh?
On Friday. We woke up to her on Friday, yes.
Yeah.
Not a lot, just the dusting, just a little, and then it was gone by 10:30, 10 o'clock.
No, we had it was just shy of an inch. Everything was covered, and then I had a laugh because my family knew that we had snow because they heard me looking out the window going, melt, melt already. Why are you here? Melt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you moved to the right place.
Exactly.
Good choice.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that a little bizarre, a little ironic?
Yeah.
I'm a person that's not a fan of the cold weather, but here I am.
Right. Ah, well, what are you going to do?
So I start complaining right about now, and usually the complaints don't. They usually continue on up until about somewhere mid-May.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, things are good. I'm not cold anymore. Oh, good.
Well, you know, the good thing is this week did mark the winter solstice, so we have had the shortest day of the winter, and now every day we gain a minute, and as one of the jocks I listened to on the radio said, we're in the dash to spring now. Well, we got a lot to go through. You know, we do have, you know, the rest of December, January, February, and March on this coast.
Exactly. And I had to, I had a little problem with my snowblower, believe it or not, over the last week or so. Yeah. I couldn't get it running again. And I know I should treat it with some sort of stable or some sort of gas additive,
right,
which I don't. And I always have to spend the traditional day or two before pulling the carburetor off the thing and cleaning it all out with carburetor cleaner and putting it back on and firing it up. But this time it didn't happen. I changed the plug. Still didn't start. Spraying it with starter fluid, brand new plug. I wasn't getting a spark. So I went and changed the magneto or whatever you would call it, because they don't call them magnetos anymore. When you go to shop for them, they call them coils.
Okay.
So I went to go get myself a new coil for the snowblower, and I had a laugh because I had sent you a picture where I had to get the tolerance of the magneto or the coil up against the flywheel where the magnet lives.
Get the clearance, Clarence.
Yes, and I needed some accurate clearance.
Right.
So I used my feeler gauge, which also doubles as a Motormouth Radio business card.
Right.
It worked very well.
Yeah, sure. Were you able to test the part before you bought a new one to see?
Now, here's where I know you and I take different paths.
Yeah, the answer is no, basically. I get it. Yeah. We can short track this if you want. I get you.
Because when it comes down to these things, I just want it to run.
I understand. See, I just don't want to spend money on a part that now I don't need, and they may not want to take back because it's electrical.
Oh, no, I'm taking that other Magneto, and I'm hanging it up.
Well, if it's bad, it's bad, you know.
It's not that. Well, I don't know if it's bad. It could be bad. I'm assuming it's bad because the snowblower did not run.
Ah. Okay, gotcha.
Even with a new plug and spraying the carburetor. So now you have to start eliminating the things that work and focusing on the things that don't.
Well, that's why I'm asking you. You know, when you did the plug and the carb, now you went to the electrical side. Did you check for spark?
Well, that was what I was doing. I actually took the plug out, and while it was still connected, and I held it over the, found a ground.
To a ground.
And I wasn't getting a spark.
Right. Okay. So you didn't have ground. Yeah.
So, yeah. So basically, the answer to your question, if that is called a test, yes.
Okay.
Did I take the Magneto and hook a meter to it? No.
Okay. Okay.
Didn't do that.
Got it.
Didn't take the winds off it and inspect every wire like you do, Ray.
Okay.
Didn't do anything like that.
Well, I'll tell you what we did do. By the magic of telecommunications, we have Mr. Marty Shore with us today. Marty, pleasure
Marty!
To see you, my friend.
How you doing?
Excellent.
Give us a little bit of New York. New York. Come on, Marty. Make
just
us feel at home.
Trying to figure out all this modern technology.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting.
Make sure I'm actually talking to somebody.
Yes. Yeah, well, the question...
I can see you, for sure.
The question we always ask is, yes, we're talking, but is anyone listening? You know,
yes.
We never know.
We've been asking that question for 20 years.
Right.
Is anybody out there? Right. Marty, how was your holiday?
Hey, listen, it's sunny and almost 80 degrees out. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I was just, I don't know if you were listening earlier, I was lamenting to Ray about the inch of snow that we got on Christmas Eve.
And, an inch of snow?
Yes! Yes!
Promo!
I am a complete wimp when it comes down to snow.
Did you get a snow plow or what?
Do you know one went down the block? I couldn't believe it. We're sitting there having coffee, and all of a sudden we hear the rumble of a snowplow. We're like, it's an inch of snow, for crying out loud. Even I would have not sent the snowplows out. But yeah, a snowplow went down the block, believe it or not.
Well, there's no snow here.
No.
I promise you.
No.
Do you miss the cold weather, Marty, at all?
No.
No, you couldn't have said that fast enough.
Right. But, did you want to think about it first?
But let me ask you, do you miss that great seafood platter and the chicken parm and rigatoni alla vodka that I had last night? Do you miss that?
Hey, I have to be honest. I do miss the seasonal changes.
Right.
And because we go to New York quite often before COVID, I was able to sample the cooler weather, and we were just there and for Thanksgiving. It was the first trip I made in 2 years.
Wow, yeah.
I haven't been on an airplane in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So went up to New York to have Thanksgiving with the family.
Good.
So it was a major treat,
yeah.
You know.
Sure.
But on a regular basis, I can do without the cold.
Right.
I think probably because I'm so used to being here and putting the top down on my car and just leaving it down.
Right.
You know? So I couldn't do that in New York. But
you've been down in Florida how many years now, Marty?
I'm sorry?
How many years have you been down in Florida?
It was 21 years last month.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
We moved here in November of 2000.
Okay.
And, but because we have family in New York and friends in New York, and we have an apartment in New York, I never really felt like I left New York. It was,
right.
You know, I'm a New Yorker, and that's
yes.
pretty much it. So
yeah, you know, as people say, you made your bones in New York. So and people in New York remember you. That's
you know, your volume is not coming. Ray, your volume is not coming over as well as Chris's.
Really?
Hmm.
Okay, I have my just raised the level a bit. Yeah, I can't make it too high because then we'll splash out. I have I have a limit I can only go
to.
That's
better.
Okay,
that's better.
Good. Good.
You asked why we came to Florida.
Oh no! I was saying how you made your bones in New York in the publishing business and in the advertising business, and you know many years of great work you did here, and you left a great living legacy that you still own. That people mention Marty Shore, and people say
legacy.
It's true. You don't have to be modest around us.
You may be wanted in certain jurisdictions.
Well, so, wait, listen. You want to talk about that? We can give you our. You'd be surprised.
It's very hard, and you can appreciate this. It's very hard to lose the New York connection.
Right.
It just is. Right. It looks like Bill is connecting.
Bill is trying to hook up with us, too.
Yeah, he's trying to.
Right.
Come on. But Billy doesn't have his camera up. We gotta see how... Gonna see a smiling face.
He has to turn his computer on.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we'll work on it. He's
working on it. He starts his car, everything works out fine.
We start our cars remotely to make sure they don't blow up. That's what we do. We're always switching cars. That's kind of our thing, but you know.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
There
Bill.
He is.
Hi, guys.
Billy's Velvet.
How are we?
We're fine.
Doing well.
Go ahead. Marty's the star. I don't know why you include me in this.
No, because
I find it interesting about the move to Florida is that I've hooked up with a number of people down here from other parts of the country. But the common connection besides cars is the magazine history that I had, because many of these guys grew up reading the magazines I did. So they felt like they knew me. The minute they met me, they felt they knew me for years.
Sure.
And
as did we, yes.
Yeah. Sure. Well, it's a nice feeling.
Yeah.
It's a nice feeling to be wanted by other than law enforcement.
Right. Well, you know, and Marty, the thing you did, if you could encapsulate it better than us, but the way you ran Cars magazines and all the other publications, you had what they called, someone termed it the New York, like a New York feel or a New York grit. You didn't do it like the other big magazines. You had a certain flash and way of putting those publications out. You want to speak to that a little bit and let everybody know, people who may not have been able to read them?
Well, I think Bill is here, but there's no picture.
Right.
Maybe that's good.
Yeah, that's cool.
But maybe we'll just have to deal with his voice.
Can you hear me? you guys can hear me, though?
Yes, Bill.
I think he's here without a picture. I'm sorry, Ray, you had asked me about the magazines?
Yeah, the way you ran them. And, of course, Joe Oldham, one of our favorites, had worked for you on Cars. But the magazines were put out in such a way that they got a reputation right away that the West Coast magazines didn't have. And it was that New York vibe. So I asked if you could explain that to the listeners.
Yeah,
because
I can, in a way. We had none of the advantages of the West Coast publishers. We didn't have the money. We didn't have the connections. As far as my publisher, was not me.
Right.
But, so we kind of did magazines on the cheap. And that enabled me to spend almost all my time in Brooklyn, on the island, in the Bronx occasionally, doing stories on local people you would be familiar with on a regular basis. And we built up an audience of East Coast readers. And then the West Coast kicked in because magazines like Hot Rod and Car Craft back in the early 60s, mid 60s, even the late 60s, wouldn't do stories on New York cars unless they were owned by national record holders. And even when Joel Rosen and Billy Mitchell and Ferrara had Baldwin Motion Camaros that were NHRA record holders, they rarely did any stories. Mm-hmm. They did stories on Grumpy. They did stories on Garlet. But it took until probably the mid-1970s before Carcraft even bothered to do any stories. And if you remember, the famous story they did almost put Joel out of business.
No.
It was about the big block Vega.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that story brought in the feds.
Right.
And they were ready to shut Joel down.
Right.
And only because he was probably smarter than they were, I'm guessing.
Well, another Brooklyn boy, Joel Rosen, right?
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah.
He knows the streets. Managed to talk his way out of it with a very small fine and stayed in business. And between Joel and I, we came up with enough diversions to get the car sold, even though they were illegal. And a lot of cars that were for export only were exported to Brooklyn, you know. And a lot of the cars for off-road use could be seen on connecting highways.
Yeah, because there's a lot of off-roading in Brooklyn. We know that, yeah.
Yeah, I see Bill now.
Yes, Bill is here.
Hey. What up, Bill? Welcome.
Thanks, Marty. It's good to be here.
Bill, what was your...
I think we were with Marty.
Bill
was
and
saying.
I talked earlier this week.
Yes.
We check in every once in a while, and he's a very cool guy.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I agree with what Marty was saying, that his flair, when they wrote the magazines, it's kind of like, he was almost like writing it in like a letter form to you, that you, the local stuff, you know, which hit really home, because I love that local genre, and you talked about all the local, you know, it was a classy way, Marty. It was a classy presentation. Every once in a while, I still like to go to my library and pick out the old magazines and just reread some of the old stories of the guys.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, just knowing, Marty, that you came from the Bronx, and you didn't come from like a car family, so you really didn't have that boost that automotive celebrities, automotive journalists had. They had that luxury. And mind you, just I think it's that working on a vehicle in the street, which I think we can all attest to. Everybody here in the theater here can all attest to working on a vehicle in the weather, in the cold, with traffic going around them. And I'm sure we've all done it, right?
It's you're absolutely right, Chris. And the funny part of it is that if you fast forward to today, everybody has some money, and everybody has some cars. And even if it's a low-budget street car and they make $50,000 a year and work on it themselves, they have reason to have that car. In my case, I had no reason because I came from a very poor family. We couldn't afford a car. My father didn't have a driver's license. My brother is 9 years younger than I am, so I had no influence whatsoever at home, which is where all of you guys got your influence one way or another. Mm-hmm. And when I got my cars, I worked on them on the street because only rich guys had garages.
Exactly. You're right.
And, you know, what's really funny is that when I had this MG, I had a MG TC with 19-inch wire wheels, cycle fenders, primered, and it had a full house flathead under the hood, a V860 that a sprint car builder built for the car. I bought it used, and I worked on it on the street, but the car didn't come with a top. It didn't come with a windshield.
Oops.
I actually bought the car at a dealership without a top and without a windshield.
Wow.
And I couldn't afford to buy a top because it meant buying the bows and everything else. So I bought a windshield and never had a top.
Wow.
I had a tonneau cover, and I drove through the snow. No top and no heater.
That's toughing it, yeah.
And nowadays, if it gets to 70 degrees, I put the top up in my car. I'm cold.
And the heat's on. Yeah, I know. I know.
Something is wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, just to back up a little, we talked about how we grew up working in the streets. I was doing that last night. I'm out there. Of course, my older daughter came over. So what? Dad's got to go. What? We got to check the tire pressures. I got to check the oil, make sure that was topped off. And I'm out there at like 11 o'clock at night with a flashlight. Like, all right, you can go now. And we still do.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just a way of life.
When you contacted me about a show, which I'm always available to do a show with you guys because it's more fun than anything else. You know, I do radio shows all the time, but they're just radio shows.
Right.
The thing is, my friend had just passed away, and yes. I told you about it, and you were nice enough to put it up on on your website.
I can interject, Marty, on motormouthradio.com, there on the homepage, there is a piece.
And if you go to what I wanted to say was, you asked about doing magazines back in the day. Mm-hmm. I met Billy Kolb when he was a kid, a salesman at Larson Ford in White Plains. It was 1963. I was working on the magazines. I wasn't editor of Cars yet. I did these small books. And I was dying to get a story on a lightweight 63.5 Galaxy 427. I was lucky enough to drive the streetcar in Europe on a Ford program that I got invited to. They probably thought I worked for Hot Rod or something. I don't know why I got the invitation, but I went and I drove it. And one day Billy calls me up and says, "I got this lightweight. You want to come up and see it?" Well, I never heard of Billy. I never heard of the dealership, Larson Ford. It was a mom-and-pop store in White Plains. So I went up there and did a story. And as Bill knows, I've done stories on hundreds and hundreds of guys with race cars, street cars, custom cars, whatever. How many guys do you maintain a relationship with over a period of years? They come, they go, they no longer have the car. They no longer race. They die, whatever the case is. Billy, something bonded between us. And I did the story, and he called me back when he got a Thunderbolt in 64. Now, he was a kid. I mean, I'm trying to think how old he was, but he was in his 20s. He was just a kid. He was the youngest salesman at Larson Ford, but he handled the high-performance stuff, so Larson ordered a Thunderbolt. So I did a story on his Thunderbolt, and then he became the biggest Shelby salesman in the country. Nobody sold more Shelby Cobras and GT Mustangs than Billy. He has the record.
Wow.
And when I wanted to drive a Shelby car, I didn't go to Carroll Shelby. I didn't go to Ford Motor Company. I called Billy up, and he said, "Come on up. You could drive a 427 Cobra." And so we maintained this relationship through our growth since 1963. And that means I became editor of Cars Magazine. I became vice president of the company. I published Vet Magazine. I published a Pontiac Magazine. I authored a number of books. I became a PR guy for General Motors. All through that period, Billy ended up owning Larson Ford and changed the name to White Plains Ford. Then he bought Faulkner Ford in Blauvelt, New York, in Rockland County. And I did stories with him on special Fords. And he launched a company called Spoilers Plus that did body kits and front and rear spoilers for slow-selling Ford products. He sold them to Ford Motor Company. I mean, I launched this company for him, and he became a client as well as a friend. And he sold that, and him and his wife bought a Subaru store, and they made a tremendous success out of that. And about 3 years ago, he and Mary Ann sold the Subaru store and retired, and he started getting sick. And he just died, and we had dinner with his wife Thursday night in Sarasota, and just talked about all the years that I knew him. I mean, I was around when his son was born. I mean, and my kids were born, and I think the best story to talk about a guy is, you may know the story about a Ford GT40 mm-hmm. that we played around with. And in 1967, I think it was April maybe, he called me up and said, how would you like to come and have some fun driving GT40? So I said, that sounds good. What track are we going to? He says, no track. We're going to drive it on the streets of Manhattan. I said, are you crazy? And so I meet him he was working then at Gotham Ford on First Avenue in Manhattan, the Ford store. Iacocca had set up a Shelby dealership within the dealership, and Billy ran it. And I get to the dealership, and he has the GT40 Mark III streetcar that just came from the New York Auto Show. What I didn't know was it was the prototype for the line of cars. It was serial number one.
Wow.
Now, I photographed that car, and I photographed the firewall with the VIN number plaque on it and never paid attention to it, never noticed it was number one. Mm. So we start driving the car around Manhattan. Well, when you drive a car like that in Manhattan, you have to look up to a baby carriage. Mm. The thing could get lost in a pothole, they'd never find it. And we're driving on a sidewalk. We're just doing everything stupid and crazy you want to do. And then we head out Triborough Bridge to go to Randall's Island to take some pictures. We're heading for the bridge, and Billy is driving. I get to drive home. And I notice a police car starts to follow us, approaching the toll. And Billy goes to the toll booth. And, of course, in a GT40,
right,
you can't just open your window and pay a toll because the window on a Mark III just tilts out a little bit. And he has to open the door, put his hand around the top of the roof, And the son of a bitch toll taker wouldn't help us. He just so we finally came to toll, and we head to the down ramp and get off at Randall's Island, and the cop car follows us. He doesn't put his lights on, and Billy says he must have caught us doing something, you know. And we end up, he just wanted to see the car. Mm-hmm. He parked his cop car and came over and hung out with us, you know. Now, I photographed the car. On the drive back, I got the wheel. So I was on the FDR, middle of the day, probably 2:30, 3 o'clock. And I'm just driving, and Billy taps me on the shoulder and says, do you know how fast you're going? So I said, no, I can't look at the gauges. I have to look at all the traffic around me with this car. He says, look at the gauge. Oh, it was 110 in traffic. He says, you're either going to get us killed or we're going to be in jail. Mm-hmm. One or the other. So I slowed up and got off. And about a month later, Billy calls me up and says, you want to buy that car? So I said, the car is like $14,000, $15,000. He says, no, I got five of them, all different kinds of GT40s in a building in Secaucus. And Ford has told me to sell them all. Some of them have bent wire wheels. Some of them have scratches on them. But they're Mark I and Mark III streetcars. So I said, how much are they? He says, take your pick. They're $5,300 each.
Whoa.
And I said, and this is a classic, I really didn't have $5,300. I mean, I really didn't. And so I said to Billy, you know, why don't we wait next year? They'll be cheaper. Billy says, you're probably right. Now, I've tracked the history of that car. It's been sold for a couple of million. Yep. And I think it's up for sale again. But every year for the last, I don't know how many years, Billy comes down to Sarasota for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Because Marianne's parents had a place here. And he and I would have lunch and toast the car that got away.
Yeah. Boy, Bill, that beats our stories that we always throw around.
Yes. Well, you got to remember, $5,300 at the time was probably the price of a new Coupe de Ville.
Yeah.
Well, I could have bought a Corvette.
Right.
You know, a Corvette?
I could have bought a Baldwin Motion Camaro.
Right.
Yeah, probably.
But,
It was. And Billy and I both bought Ford GTs. I still have mine. Billy sold his. But it's just that we laughed about it because as the market starts to climb, once the car hit $100,000, I started, you know, saying to Billy, you know, we should have bought the damn car.
Yeah.
And then it hit $1 million, and I said, there's probably no chance I would have kept the car. If I bought it for $5,300 and it hit $50,000, I would have sold it.
Yeah, great investment.
Oh, yeah. And you would have thought you would have thought you got the greatest profit in the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the story alone puts a premium on the price, too.
Well, yeah.
So, the provenance.
Right.
Sure.
Well, what's really funny, and this is very esoteric stuff that you guys would never get into, but the only two people that drove that car after Billy got the car was Billy and myself, and Karin Driver got it before me. And Karin Driver did a road test that came out just before mine. And they complained about the car with so many problems. The door opened up, the rattles, the squeaks, the everything bad about the car. And they had hardly any photos of the car, just two blurry kind of pictures. And I believe they never drove the car in the first place because all the reference books for GT40s picks up their article and talks about the problems. So a couple of years ago, I called Billy up and I said, after Karin Driver had it, did you have to fix the car? He says, no, I gave it to you. So they lied about all the problems with the car. The car never had those problems.
Wow.
And I tracked the car. I know where the car is today, and I've known where the car has been for years. Mm-hmm. It actually went back to England, got converted to a right-hand drive race car, and was raced. And then a few years ago, I gave photographs to a shop in London so they can restore it to a left-hand drive road car that it originally was. Excellent. And a wealthy guy in Switzerland bought the car and drove it like crazy, raced it, everything else, and he sold it. It's up for sale again.
Wow.
And I'm not bidding on it. So
right. Well,
it's in the millions. So.
I'll tell you what else is not up for sale. It's our bottom of the hour break. We have to take care of a little show business here. And we start that always with Chris's Honor Group of the Hour. Do we have one for the last show of the season, Chris?
Yes, we do. I hate to take away from what we're talking about now, but it's the first time I've actually ever said that about the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour are individuals that were caught sneaking into the garage over the holidays. Did you find that house full of people a little overwhelming? The holiday season and got a little too much for you, so you had to retreat into that quiet place. Did you tell everyone that you were going to look for any Christmas decorations when everyone clearly knows you don't keep Christmas decorations in a garage? Did you sneak into the garage and find a handful of guests in the garage with you? Well, if you went and waxed your car, or if you were finishing that engine rebuild over the holidays, and you had to get chased out of the garage to actually return to the party and your family, then you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Excellent. There you go. I'm guilty of a few of those myself, and I'll tell you that also, if you're looking for something to do Saturdays at 4 p.m., you want to tune into the Party Mix on this station, where you'll get the night starter with host Stephanie Lombardo with a mix of feel-good tunes, including hip-hop, techno, dance classics, and current hits. So, gentlemen, if you can sit with us for about 2 minutes, we'll take care of some business here, and we'll be back. And, Marty, if there's more to add, we could talk about Bill Kolb. And there's a certain Cobra in there that I'd like to talk about, that blue and white one, if we can. And Bill, of course, any questions, feel free to shout them out. So keep it where you got it. We'll be back in just about 2 minutes on Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, of course, Marty Shore, and Billy G. So keep it where you got it. Yeah, Bill, we're going to tap into your jazz roots right now. So I need you to tune up and maybe a little piano, and we'll fill in the rest on the band. Okay? Keep it where you got it. 90.3 WHPC. Show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Vote them out. You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Vote them out.
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are a consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming.
I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Vote them out.
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motormouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHBC. You might learn something.
If I could learn to play better jazz like that, I think I would sign up. Because, Bill, you're a master on that piano, I got to tell you. We are back. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer with Mr. Marty Shore and Billy G on this last show of the season. That's the last time you're going to hear that promo, unless we dig it out of the archives a few years from now and we kind of have some fun with it. So, gentlemen, we're back. Thanks for hanging with us. And we left off with the great GT40 story.
Yes, I'm on the Car Guy Chronicles right now, looking at the remembering the Bill Kolb Jr. article and seeing some of the pictures, and they are fantastic. But the one that is the most impactful is a shot of the GT40 on a street in Manhattan, and you can see the relationship, because it's next to a banged up 59 Impala, and behind it is like a 60 Caddy Sedan DeVille. And you could see how these cars, these big Detroit vehicles, can't even see this thing over through their side glass. They can't see it. Right. It's that low.
You know, Chris, the other thing I want to say is I'd be remiss if I didn't do this.
The car is... I'm sorry. Go on, Ray.
Let me just get this in. I have to give big props and kudos to our web guy, because he put that whole thing up. There's a slideshow on our website. If you go to the homepage, you'll see it. But if you go to the blogs tab and let it come down to Legends Lost, you'll also go right to that page with some other stuff that Marty had done on there. And thanks again for all that hard work. That was in a quick amount of time. That was good doing. So, Marty?
Yes.
Yeah.
it was really interesting over the years that Billy and I stayed out of jail. That was really...
That's our line.
Of course, he had... And you guys know that, and certainly Bill G knows that.
Right.
He would just slap a dealer plate on anything.
Well, so sure.
It didn't matter if it was legal, not legal, you know, and go out there and then run back to the shop and just pull it off.
Right.
And that was it. Wow. But it was a tremendous loss because we had been seeing each other since 1963. Hmm. And I wasn't ready for that. And he's also 5 years younger than I am. So
right.
Certainly didn't expect it. But if anyone looks in the Shelby American Auto Club, that the club for all Shelby for years, you can see who sold what, because they have records of every Cobra that was ever sold. If you think about it, Billy was in Manhattan, which is the most anti-car city in the world, probably.
Sure is.
And he was in White Plains, and he sold more Cobras than the guys in California, where Shelby was.
Yeah.
Or the guys in nice weather places or anything else. And he had an incredible relationship with Carol, as well as with Lee Iacocca. And he was on so many committees at Ford Motor Company that where you'd never find the salesman, you know, when he was a salesman. And he had an incredible success at his Ford store, at the Subaru store. He knew how to treat people. He won all kinds of the customer satisfaction awards. People just love buying cars from him. And right. You don't hear that about car salesmen.
No.
Everybody hates car salesmen.
Well, what about the other thing I liked was his drag race history. You know, if you want to can speak about the little yellow wagon a little bit, that was a pretty interesting endeavor.
You know, for some reason, Ray, you're just not coming through, and I have my computer on the loudest setting. I'm working with the speaker in my computer.
Go figure. Chris, Ray, ask about the little yellow wagon.
I mean, yeah. I shouldn't hear you. You know,
yes.
I'll just deal with Chris. That's it.
Yeah, Ray was asking about Bill Cole Jr.'s little yellow wagon that we're looking at now, which is
that was something that didn't have a happy ending because Bill obviously everything Bill did racing was to sell cars. He liked to win just like you like to win or anyone likes to win, but selling cars was what it was all about. That's why he raced. And the little yellow wagon was patterned after the Dodge Red Wagon that Maverick drove. Bill never campaigned it nationally. He did do Indianapolis for the NHRA Nationals, but it was mostly local and regional to sell cars. And it was more successful than his Thunderbolt, more successful than his lightweight Galaxy. It brought customers in. And, you know, people think about building a wheel-standing truck. It's really not easy. It's really very difficult. And he had a lot of help from guys who were serious builders. The engine came from Tasker Ford, the same guy that built the motors for Bill Lawton's cars, built that engine. It was a serious injected 427. The chassis was done by a local guy who built race cars. And Billy campaigned it up until nobody wanted to be involved in it. The dealerships all realized that this was a train wreck, possibly. So Bill, the last runs he ran were in the Midwest somewhere, and he wrecked the car totally. He's lucky to walk out of it. I mean, it just, that was it. And so Billy didn't do that anymore, but The dealerships wanted no part of it, the same way Baldwin Chevrolet wanted no part of Rosen's big block Vegas,
right.
Or even the small block Vegas. They knew what the car was, so that's why all those cars were just Motion cars. They weren't Baldwin Motion cars. So the wagon was just a theatrical thing that was very successful in bringing customers into the store. And I think his home track at that time was Dover, was his home track. And he ran at New York National. He ran West Hampton. He ran in the old days, and he ran Meadows in Jersey. And he did run the Nationals, Indy Nationals, NHRA. But he was a mid-level competitor, only interested in getting the name out there, winning a few races, and because it was so successful that on Monday the phone started ringing and people wanted to come in and buy cars.
Yeah.
And it was like everything Ford said about win on Sunday and sell on Monday. That's what he did.
Right.
And so he was beyond being a car guy or beyond all this racing stuff. Bill was one of the smartest guys I've ever known. He didn't go to college. No book learning. But he was able to come up with what it took to satisfy a customer. He knew how to build a car that somebody would buy and be happy buying it. He was one of the early guys in selling cars. He would purchase a base model car through his dealer allotments. And then he would dress it up with leather interior, a sunroof that he would put on, upscale wheels, and it would look like the most expensive car Ford was selling, but it was cheap.
Mm.
So customers loved them. They got leather, they got a sunroof, probably the same sunroof Ford put on the car, and they got wheels that were nicer than Ford was using, and customers scooped them up and loved buying them. And Billy sort of built a little empire on that and shopping the dealer auctions. He would spend the weekend plotting out what cars to buy at the dealer auctions all over the East Coast. He had representatives at these auctions, and they knew exactly what to buy and how much to pay for it. And that's how Billy sold an incredible amount of one-year-old used cars that customers scooped up. Yeah. And so he was able to judge what a customer wanted and would be happy paying for, and that's what he gave him.
Yeah, it's,
and built a little empire on it.
It's a great story and a sad loss. Marty, as we're coming towards the end of the show, Kim is going to come in and we're going to have a hard stop to this show. What's going on with Marty Shore today and into the future down in Florida?
I've been spending the past 2 years of COVID doing research. I want to write a book about Roy Lunn, who is the godfather of the GT40. Most people don't know who he is, but they know his cars. And I was a friend of his. He passed away a few years ago. He was much older than I am. But I befriended him, and we spent the last couple of his years together in Sarasota. And I got him his first ride in the Ford GT. just wonderful. But most people don't realize that this one guy who didn't get a lot of publicity, Roy Lunn, a Brit who came to the United States, was responsible for the Mustang 1 concept car. The GT40 Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 4, he was responsible for the Jeep Cherokee. Hmm. He was responsible for the all-wheel drive Eagle. And after he retired from American Motors, he was hired by Hummer to make the Hummer compliant for government purchase as a military vehicle.
Wow.
And he was a very quiet guy. When he retired, he stayed away from cars. He was a wine aficionado. He was a scuba diver. He was a sailor. And he did none of the car stuff that guys like Shelby and Duntov and the rest of them did. He just quit that part of cars and became an environmentalist and wrote three books on the green way to live and future cars. And when he passed away, he was designing a future car with no metal, a body made out of wood chips.
Wow.
It's electric.
Like a throwback to Henry Ford, Henry Ford's days, using soy on everything.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
wild.
Before he passed away, I presented him to the Automotive Hall of Fame in Detroit. I nominated him for admission, and before he died, he was inducted
nice.
Into the Automotive Hall of Fame in 2016. He passed away in 2017.
Nice.
And I had a couple of years to archive his photos, his interviews. So I want to write a book about him, his life in England and the United States. And hopefully I'll survive long enough to write the book.
I hope so, too. You know, Chris and I, we've been trying to get inducted into, like, the AutoZone Hall of Let Us In and Give Us a Discount fame. You know, we can't get a letter in a local newspaper. Maybe Billy will write it one day. Who knows? We'll keep trying.
And from now on, as far as you guys are concerned, I prefer to be known as the accidental car guy who made good.
Okay.
The accidental car guy.
There we go. Marty, how can people find you and your work if they want to look you up on the World Wide Web?
How do they find me?
Yes.
I prefer not to be found.
Well, I don't mean a person, you know, because I know we got your bodyguard here, so he's going to take care of that.
All they have to do is go to carguychronicles.com.
Right.
And do that, or you can contact me through that, or SarasotaCafeRacers.com. There's a contact there also.
And there is a link on MotorMouthRadio.com to find that stuff if you like. That's if you want to look up Marty and see what he's into. And that's always interesting stuff. Gentlemen, Marty, thank you for coming on and sharing these great stories about Bill with us. That's fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
Marty,
extraordinary.
You're like a fireside chat, Marty. I always enjoy just the way you just tell a story. It's great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's kind of natural because when I talk to you guys, especially because I do radio shows to guys all over the country, they don't often appreciate some of the nuances where Brooklyn and the Bronx creep in to the dialogue. But the stories are the stories. I tell them like they were. It's like they become longer stories because I tell it the way it was. But essentially, this was really my life. This is what I do. And I hope I can continue doing this for a while because I really enjoy it. And I also enjoy driving.
All right. And, Marty. We have to cut you short. We have to go now because Kim's coming in to do her show, and we will have you back in 2022, and we'll pick this up again.
Yes,
gentlemen,
sir.
Thank you. For Chris Switzer, Ray.
Bill G, be well.
Thank you. Right. Let me
we'll keep in touch, and you're still my favorite car, guys.
Chris, what do we always say before we leave?
Take care.
Don't follow us home and read the Car Guy Chronicles. It is required reading.
Exactly.
Especially for Motor Mouth Radio.
90.3.
Thank you.
We're out. See you next week.
Happy New Year.
All right, guys. So long.